Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hi everyone, welcome to Words of Wisdom with Apostle Glenn Munama. We are excited to have you on our podcast, and we know you will be blessed, convicted, and strengthened by this week's podcast episode. Don't forget that a new episode is posted every Wednesday at 7 p.m. South African Standard Time. Before you get into it, please don't forget to follow us on social media. Our Facebook page is The Synagogues JWC. Our Instagram is thesynagogues.jwc. And last but not least, our YouTube page is Ida TV. We also would love to hear back from you, so we have set up a Discord channel for you all. Feel free to check out the podcast description for the link. We also have a few announcements. The Synagogues JWC is building. Our goal is to have the funding to start phase one of the auditorium by 2025. To give towards the project, you can use our PayPal PayMe link or via bank transfer. Banking details and PayPal link can be found in the podcast description. Let us build the house of the Lord. Enjoy.
Amen. My message today, it's entitled The Law of Liberty. The Law of Liberty. Look at your neighbor, say the Law of Liberty. If we can understand the Law of Liberty, we are going to be free from many things in this world. We are going to rest in the promises of God without being worried what will happen next. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you are established in the law of liberty, it's a superior law. It's a law above all laws. It's a law that governs the kingdom of God. Is a law of life in the spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Is a law of the spirit of life in Christ. That's the ultimate law. You see, if you understand this law, you'll be settled in your walk with the Lord. In your life as a Christian, you will be settled. Because you know a law that is above all laws. You see, there are laws in this country, there are laws in this natural world that determines how things work. But if you are connected to a superior law, it's above all laws. I hope you are hearing what I'm telling you. In other words, it does not matter what this world looks like or says. If the law of the spirit of life in Christ says something else, that will stand. Concerning your life, what the word of God says concerning your life will stand. For that is the book of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. That is the ultimate authority in your life. Are you here? There are laws that operate in the natural that everybody abides by, and they seem to be working in the natural, and these things make sense. You see, when you're a Christian, you're not working on things that make sense. You're not depending on things that are logical. No, you will be limited. If you are going to expect God to operate in your life, you have to come out of that realm and enter another one. Because you are limited. You are limited to what can be seen. You are limited to what can be touched. For in that space, there's a different law that operates. But there's a law that operates in the supernatural, that we have an advantage, or we have an opportunity to access. And that is a solution for all the worries that exist in the world. It's the solution for the doubts that exist in the world. It's knowing the superior law that is above all laws. Somebody told me yesterday that he has failed matric, but he still believes that he's going to be a doctor. And I said, do you believe? I said, yes. I said, I believe with you. You see, he's connected to another law that I don't know, that I haven't experienced at that level. And I have to agree with him, because according to the law of this world, you can't be a doctor when you failed matric. I don't know if I'm talking to somebody here. There are laws in this world that are telling you can't do certain things because of 1, 2, 3. But if you begin to connect to a superior law, it nullifies all that. It's not a lie. It's only accessible to those who dare to go higher. Some people say you are crazy. Of course, it's not their level. It's not their space. If all that you depend on is what you see, what you hear, what you feel, you are limited. And many Christians operate in that world. That's why they're so worried. That's why you worry like unbelievers. You have got the same headaches unbelievers have. Today, I want you to invite you to connect to a law of liberty that will set you free once and for all from all worries of this world. Now, the book of James chapter 1 puts it very nicely. And I hope we will understand what it is saying. Hallelujah. James chapter 3. No, verse 5. Let's go to verse 5.
If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God.
If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Amen?
Who gives all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him.
All right. So, you see, this does not only refer to wisdom, but that is the basis of all asking from God. But here he's speaking about what? Wisdom. Say wisdom. Now, listen to verse 6.
But Let him ask in faith.
Aha. Let him ask in what? Are you here?
Yes.
You know, what is interesting is that we all think we ask in faith when we are asking God. No one sitting here will think that when I ask God for something, I'm not believing. But to this morning, I want you to analyze your believing. Okay? But let him ask in faith. Say, ask in faith. With no doubting. Underline doubting. For he who doubts, continue reading. For he who doubts
uh-huh. is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind.
Aha. Uh-huh. You see, here's the thing. When you believe something and you ask God for something, winds will come and they will blow this thing. They will blow on what you are standing on and believing on. They'll come. What are the winds? The winds are things that will definitely make you doubt that it is going to happen. In other words, if it's sickness, you will get worse. It's a wind blowing. You've just confessed that I'm healed. Now the pain has gotten worse. I don't know if I'm talking to somebody here. You have just believed that somehow God will make money available for your kids to pay for your children's school fees. The next day, they are kicked out of school. In other words, something is beating against this thing that you say you believe. Oh, yes. If you're going to believe something, something is going to come and beat against it. The winds will come. And when the winds will come, do not be... Now, that's what James is warning us. We must not be like the waves of the sea. You see, the waves of the sea will go wherever the wind goes. If it goes this way, it will go that way. If it goes this way, it will go that way. He says, we must not be like that. When things like this happen, they're asking one thing. Which law operates in your life? which law governs you? Which law rules? Because the world is coming with all the realities against you. All the realities. It's not lies. Is reality. They are piling up against your faith or what you think is faith until you feel that, oh, this is not going to happen. Am I talking to somebody here? Is it making sense what I'm saying to you?
Yes.
So reality, say realities.
Yes.
Begin to beat against what you think you believe. They are presenting you facts. They are saying to you, it's not possible. When Sarah received the message of pregnancy, she was faced with realities and facts of her age. Which is the law that is in operation here? In the natural realm. Paul says there's another law that operates in my members, meaning in my body. In the book of Romans. Am I speaking to somebody here? So it says what? For he who doubts is like what? A wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Boom. Boom. Vroom, vroom. Vroom, vroom. Today you believe, tomorrow you're not sure. In the morning you're so strong in your faith. This afternoon, in the morning you're like, I believe God for this. I believe God. I know it will happen. In the afternoon, Father, where are you? Where are you? Am I making sense to somebody? What's happening? The winds of reality are blowing against what you're believing. Winds of reality. Anything you say you believe God for, something is going to beat against it. And when it does that, don't be like water. Don't be like the ocean. He says something here. Read verse 7.
For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord.
Wow, that is the sternest warning that we can ever get. We are warned here that there are people who will never get anything from God. Never. I mean, this is straightforward. There are people who will never get anything from God. I know you don't like my preaching right now. The way you're looking at me. Did he just say that? Oh, yes. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. So there are people who will receive nothing from the Lord. Have they fasted? Yes. Have they prayed? Yes. Have they believed? Yes. But what is the problem? They are blown away every time with realities. Ask your neighbor, where's your amen? Unolumnati more praise a mudimori jumper. Yalo so told Sidra. Am I helping somebody here?
Amen.
James says there are people who are not going to get anything. Ask your neighbor, what have you asked from God? Did you get it? What is the answer? What is the answer? I'm just asking, please. I'm not. Still waiting. Are you sure it's coming or you're just waiting? Are you not in these people they say they won't get?
No.
You see, Jesus Christ said in the book of Matthew chapter 7. He says, anyone who hears these words of mine and he does them is like a man who builds his house upon a what? A rock. When the winds come, so where is this house built? It's built on the law of liberty. The spirit of life in Christ. Are you hearing me? He says, when the wind comes and they beat against this house, it will stand. But the one that is built on, the one who doesn't do this, and we'll come back to that, is like the one who builds his house on a sand, isn't it? Are you here? On what? On a sand. The winds come. And then what? Blows this thing and then it blows it away. For a moment, I was just thinking right now that, you know, that wind that just challenged this structure, if it came when we're in the tent, it would have been disaster. Today, we are free from the worries of anything happening because we are in a stable structure. I don't know if you are hearing what I'm saying. Why are we not worried when this wind is blowing now? It's because we know that this is solid. When we were still in the tent and the wind blows, some of you won't even come to church. Or when you were in the church, you lose your concentration because you're thinking, is this thing going to fall on me? You get worried. Is it making sense? Because you know the building that you are on is not stable. That is the same with us in life. Why are we worried? It's because we know this house is not stable. We may not want to admit it. Why are you worried? Why would you be worried about the rain and the storms if you are in a solid house? No. But if you are in a shack, it blows like that, and mazenge moves. They move, ne? Ay. Peace goes away. It escapes. Is it making sense what I'm telling you? The moment you are concerned about the possibility of something happening or not happening, you are in an unstable place. Truth must be told, isn't it? We must examine what we call faith, if it's really faith. And winds exposes it. There is nothing that you will believe God for that is in faith and that you will receive without winds. Can I say that again? There's nothing, if truly you're going to receive by faith, that will not be followed by winds. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What I believed, I still believe, and I'm not going to change. Whether circumstances allows it or not, I'm not changing. I'm not moving from I don't care what wind is blowing and beating against my life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I still believe that if Jesus Christ doesn't come next week, we are still going to build a bigger auditorium. Oh, yes, we are. Those multitudes we believed, even sometimes when numbers in the ministry dwindle, my focus is not on that wind. You haven't heard what I'm telling you right now. Say, neighbor, this is not even a wind. It's just a small, what do you call even this? What do you call it? What is it in English again? Huh? Oh, yes, the whirlwind, yes. Smaller than a whirlwind, you are done. You don't even need a still. Say, neighbor, let's do something about this. Amen? Am I speaking to somebody in the house?
Yes, sir.
Winds do blow against faith. They do. They will come. Just thank God for those winds. Just sleep in those winds. Lalenge. How many of you believe God for something here? Yeah, let me see your hand. Whatever it is. Do you believe God for something?
Yes.
Can we welcome the winds? Can we welcome the winds?
Yes.
Are you ready for the winds?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Say, I will ride the storm.
I will ride
that storm.
Ride
that storm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can you imagine that the devil sends you this big problem that looks like it's going to stop something in your life? You just ride on this problem. Or cruise on the problem. Wow, you are connected to the law of liberty. Hallelujah. Could whatever is happening, could you sleep in the storm like Jesus? Everybody, you see the disciples were so worried. The boat is being blown this way and that way. Jesus is sleeping because he's connected to another law. The disciples were not connected. And they said, Jesus, what's your issue? Can't you see you are dying? You're dying alone. I'm not going to die. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody needs to sleep in his wings. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor. Uto khalea straight. Uto khalea. You just sleep. Because you are connected to another law. Hallelujah. The day you connect, worries will no longer be part of your life. I mean, you will go through the worst of the worst, and you will have so much peace. And nobody will even know. Some of us, the moment we go through troubles, this fatal says they are changed. And people will ask us, is there anything wrong? What is going on? How's that totally Vaseline? What is wrong? We can say son. Everybody is aware something is not right. Say never, it cannot be. Connect to another law. Is this making sense to somebody? You can't have your life be controlled by this natural law like that. Never. You must show that you are above. Amen.
Amen.
You ride the storm, you sleep in the storm, you snow in the storm. You sing in the storm, you praise in the storm.
Amen.
Am I talking to somebody in the house?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The devil must tell himself, what a waste of storm. I'm not sending storms there again. It's a waste. Because this guy is riding my storms. Say, good morning, storm rider.
Good morning, storm rider.
Say, I see another storm coming, but I know even that one you're going to ride.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Come on, give God a hand of praise. Give God a hand of praise. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Such a person cannot be trusted. Go to verse 21.
Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls.
Now, underline receive with meekness. The implanted word, underline meekness. What makes a difference? Two things make a difference. When we receive the word of God, whether that is going to end up anchoring our lives or not. Number one is the attitude. What is your attitude to the word of God? Attitude. Say attitude. You know, meekness, it's humility, is to allow another authority to take over your life. Is to allow to be guided. It's like, you know, lambs are meek kind of animals. Are you hearing me? Their response is not that of rebellion, it's not that of rejection, but it's that of obedience. So attitude is everything. Hallelujah. Say attitude. So the Bible says that we must receive with meekness. Like now, when you're hearing the word of God being preached, you say, wow, I want this thing to really take over my life. Amen. I'm excited about this. I'm going to change. I'm going to be different. It's the first step, but it's not the only step. And majority of Christians, they get excited when they hear the word of God, and majority feel that, you, I must do something about what I've heard. Very few people say, I don't believe this. Amen? The Bible says that this word is able to save our souls. Read verse 22.
But be doers of the word and not hearers
only. Yeah, before that, if you go to the book of Matthew 13, we'll come back in Matthew 13, the parable of the sower, it must be verse 22.
But he who received seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60.
No, 20.
But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy.
Now, you see here, you see different too. This guy here receives the word with excitement. He shows meekness. He shows the right attitude. And I can tell you, many Christians do get excited when they hear things in the church. Is it true? We get excited and we receive it with joy. But the problem is that our hearts are on another level. Amen? So it is not just enough to get excited about what you have heard. Wow, this word was going to transform my life. It's just the beginning of a process. It's not the end. But if you don't like what you are hearing, you're in trouble. If you say, what is this? You're in trouble. I don't believe these people. You know, some people have come to church and they've been disappointed by people, by pastors, by everybody. They are suspicious of everything. They see us as liars and whatever, telling lies all the time. I don't believe these people. Their hearts have been hardened. Amen? Are you still here? So these are the people, many people will receive the word of God with joy and excitement. But that is just the beginning. It should not be the end. You need to take care of other things. You need to take care of your heart. You need to take care of other things. For this word to begin its work of transforming you, moving you from the law of sin and death to a law of life, of spirit of life in Christ. It's a process. Say a process.
A process.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Continue reading.
21.
Mm-hmm.
Yet he who has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation...
Okay, all right. We will come back to that. Just put your finger there. Let's go back to James chapter 1.
verse 7. For let not
that man... No, 22.
22.
Yeah.
But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves.
Okay, be doers of the word. Say, be doers of the word. Say, be doers of the word. What did Jesus Christ say? If you hear these words and you do them, your house is like solid, isn't it? Okay, let's continue.
For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror.
Yeah.
For okay. He...
Now, here's the thing. It's like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and says, okay, I look like this. And the same guy who gets excited about the preaching and says, whoa, he's talking about me. It's like, he knows something about me. I have to change. Or another person might say, no, somebody told him about it. Like many people do. Murutu Narerakana. I'm not coming to this church because he preached about me. If I don't preach about you, who must I preach about? Ask your neighbor, if he doesn't preach about you, who must he preach about? Because he must preach about somebody. We have to preach about somebody. No, we have to preach about somebody. Otherwise, somebody must get the message about their lives. So we must preach about somebody, isn't it? I apologize that I preached about you. Today I won't preach about you. I'll preach about somebody else. Hallelujah. So you can hear something and say, instead of receiving it and say, you know what, I'm going to use this for my life. Whether he's preaching about me or not is fine, but there's something that I want to take home. If he's preaching about me, let it be his problem and his God. It's fine. He'll sort him out. The one who sent him to do this work, he's going to account. That's how it is. I'll be asked one day, okay, why did you preach about this guy? Because that's not me speaking, it's you speaking. Because literally, if you're preaching about somebody, it's not God. It's you, using the pulpit to get to somebody. Now, that is different. To settle scores on the pulpit is demonic. Is Satan himself preaching? No, that one I agree with you. If that's what you're talking about, I agree with you. That should not happen in church. Amen. That should not happen in church. I fight with my wife at home and I come to the pulpit and then I release myself. And the poor woman now is telling me from the pulpit. No, that's abuse of pulpit. That's what? That's abuse of pulpit. It should not happen. No. The moment you hear such things from here, you must know we have lost the plot. God is no longer in the house. Are you blessed, Bazalwane?
Amen.
So here's the thing. You hear something and you say, wow, I want to change. You know, I had a dream last night. Actually, I almost forgot about it when I woke up. It was so real. It was actually real. Almost like real. Because I saw in my dream somebody was cutting my nails. Now listen to this. Was cutting my nails. And I was excited, but and embarrassed at the same time. Why didn't I cut my nails? And it was like the same what you call length of nails that I have now, because I could see, yeah, those are the same nails. So I said, okay, what is going on? And when I woke up, I looked at my nails and I said, wow, I thought they were gone. Amen? But I was excited that they were going, because that's what I wanted to do anyway. But as I was just saying, why didn't I do it? Now, I want you to understand, because some of us, when we have dreams, we don't look at context. We just think, okay, they are shaving my glory away. That's not true. It depends on the context. You see, what is happening here is that in this context, it means doing away of old habits, doing away with old habits. Something is happening in my life where God is removing certain things, and I'm just coming along, but it's God doing it. And when I look at my life right now, actually, there are things like that happening. There are certain things in our lives that must change before the new must come. Can I preach somewhere else?
Amen.
Some of us, we are tired of our lives, our old lives, but we don't want to let go of old habits. They say if you do things the same way, you will always get the same results. Simple. Do you still love me as your pastor? Pastor, pray for me. Some of the prayer requests, I really feel like real pastor. Not a real pastor, like pasta, Italian pasta. Are you still in the house? Because you can't keep your old habits. We're preaching, you don't change. You are refusing to let go, but you want a change. You may even be moving from one church to another looking for a solution, but with the same habits. You are just moving around with the same luggage all the time. You don't want to put it down. Sometimes it's our habits that are keeping us away from something. Am I preaching to the right people? And some of you, God has been talking to you about something you are refusing. Waha, now it's 12. Can I preach?
Amen.
Maybe if you hear it from me today, you will stop. This habit is blocking things. Can I say that again?
Amen.
This habit is allow God to cut those nails. Don't resist. Yes, God has given you visions and dreams, but what keeps you away from them is your habits. Latha, say neighbor, latha. Yekela. Kwella. Years, 40 years, 30 years, ntsulitsileng yona yi. No, say no.
No.
I pray that today old habits that are blocking your life will begin to fall in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I say today those nails will be cut off.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
New things must begin to come into your life. Some old habits are not bad habits, but it's just that they are no longer necessary. You know, sometimes we get stuck in our old ways. They used to work, yes, but not today. Drop it. Year 2000 and something, drop it. in the 1990-something years. But this is what? 2000-and-something. Drop it. Am I talking to somebody here?
Amen.
Let us not resist and hold on to things that are keeping us out of blessing. Amen. Let us be doers of the word. You hear it, you do it. Like now, as I'm preaching, you are hearing, yeah, he's talking about this thing. Just now. Wabulelo, straight, yeah. Did you hear that? This is what he's talking about. The same Jesus who's talking through me, he's talking to you right now. He's pointing out things that I'm talking about. I'm not making up my story. I woke up with this, and this is what it has been, and God is giving me confirmation. Yeah, things are falling. Just relax. This is grace. Because if somebody cut, it's not me cutting, it's somebody else, it means it's grace. These are the things that I failed to do myself. But now the grace is there enabling me to live the things that I couldn't live for years. So the grace is here. You find yourself living. Don't resist. No, leave it. Am I talking to somebody here? It's like a man observing what? His natural face in a mirror. So when we look at ourselves and say, wow, this is how I look. And we get excited. We say, okay, I'm going to do something about what I've had. I'm going to do a better person, a better wife, a better husband, a better sister, a better brother, a better employee, a better manager, a better that, a better friend, a better minister. But here's the tragedy. Read verse 24.
For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was.
Now, if you don't do what is next, your life will end here every time you hear the word of God. And this is a tragedy. For many, they walk away, and they simply forget what it was. As I'm preaching, you're feeling like, hey, I'm going to do this. But the moment you walk out of there, back to your life. Back to your old life. Can I have an amen? To make me feel better. Amen.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm telling you?
Amen.
You know, some of us, we could be far. Eh? If we knew the power of connection to this law, we would be far. There are many things we could have overcome. But we are kept in one place because we're refusing to go beyond just being excited about the word and walking away and forget how we look like. Amen?
Amen.
For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately, forget the way he looks. Now, key is verse 25. Key to transformation is in verse 25. And I thank God that only, I believe, this week I got to understand this verse more than any other time in my life. I've read this verse so many times. But actually, only this past week, I started to see what this is all about. And it's key to transformation. It's in this verse. Read verse 25.
But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty.
Clap your hands for Jesus. For he who does what? Looks into the perfect law of liberty.
And continues in it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. This person looks as, I think the other translation talks about the steadfast look at the law of liberty. Is a translation like that to talk about steadfast look at this law of liberty? It means that you are staring at it. Your eyes are not moving away from it all the time. It is in front of you. You are looking at it all the time. Hallelujah. Continue reading.
But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word.
Now, this is the word of God. This is the spirit of life, or the spirit life, okay? Or the life of the spirit. Is the word of God, you are looking at it, and you do not remove your eyes from it, and you are not forgetful of it. Look, if you remove your eyes from the word of God, you're going to forget it. Simple. You're going to forget it. It is a decision that you make that you will keep the word of God in view all the time. What you have just learned, you will steadfastly look at it, stare into it, look at it, because this is the law of liberty, this is the law of life. Are you hearing me? And continues in it. And this took me to understand Deuteronomy chapter 6. Can you read Deuteronomy chapter 6 from verse 6?
And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them.
Now, that's key scripture. You shall bind them. Say, you shall bind them. Where? Where shall you bind them?
As a sign on your hand.
You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. In other words, you will bind the word of God on your hand or on your wrist. Some translations say on your wrist. Amen? Why is it? So that you can constantly, steadfastly look at that word all the time. You see, the word of God, or this law of life, it is the law that you must just keep looking at. Say, keep looking at it. Hallelujah. Keep doing what? Keep looking at it. Amen? Keep doing what? You keep your focus on this word. When you leave this place, I can guarantee you there are 100 things that are going to happen to you to remove your focus from what we have taught you. Oh, I'm telling you. See, things are going to happen to you that are going to take you out of spirit into the world, into the real world. And you feel like, why don't we just leave a church, Mark? Who knows what I'm talking about? Oh, yes. 100 things are going to happen to you that they're like birds that wants to steal the seed. Ah, they're going to come. Why? They want to remove your focus from steadfastly looking at this. It takes one to say, no. This is what I've learned. Today, this afternoon, I'm going to go through it. Before I sleep, I'm going to look at it. In the morning, I'm going to look at what I've learned. In the week, I'm going to look at this. My eyes must look at this. Hallelujah. And I'm not prepared to remove my eyes from it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Continue reading.
You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Caution against disobedience.
Now, listen, it says everywhere you look, it must be this. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? There is no other way. People are ignorant of this law simply because they don't know it. It doesn't govern their lives. It's not part of them. It's a law that they read about. It is not part of them. They occasionally read about this law. This law is supposed to operate in you. In fact, read Romans chapter 7, verse 22.
For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man.
I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. So there is a law that I can see. It's in my heart. Are you hearing me? And this is the law of God. Paul says, I'm happy about this law. But he says there's another law operating outside that wars against me and against the will of God for my life. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? But for you to be able to be stable, don't lose focus of this. So number one, keep it in sight all the time. Think about it. Hallelujah. He said to Joshua, do what? Meditate on these words. So the next thing that you must do is just to think about it all the time. Hallelujah. Think about it what? All the time. And the moment you do that, you are being transformed. That's where transformation comes from. The more you memorize it, the more you meditate on it, the more you... This law now takes over your life. Next time when people tell you you can't do it, you say, you don't know me. You don't know who I am. Hallelujah. You are able to say this is what the word of God says concerning this. And it's going to happen. You know, when you talk like that, it sounds like you are stubborn. No, there's another law which has more authority than the law that is in this world. When people say things about your children that you don't believe, if you believe that it's something, your child could be a drunkard, it could be a drug addict. You know, there are countless stories of women who continue to confess that their children are pastors even when they were drug addicts. One day they changed, they became pastors. The problem is that we are quick to be blown away by the winds. Very quick. And the reason is simple. This word is not alive in us. This law is not operating in us. We have not internalized it. We have not made it part of us. We just know it because the pastor mentioned it. Akana muruti wite vesiela muruti imokai. No, it won't work for you.
Can you help me? Where is that verse the pastor was talking about? Oh, the neighbor, you are late. You are late. Now it must be coming from you, not from the pastor. This situation is asking for it from inside, not from outside. All the time when you're supposed to be looking at this thing and letting it transform you, you're not. You're looking at other things. What you are looking at is the law of this world. Everything that you look at in this world is concerning the law operational in this world, and it's going to control you. The way people succeed in this life is what you will see on TV. It's what you will see on social media. That's how people succeed in this world. That's how it works. Are you going to fill your life with all that? You are in trouble. Then don't claim that you believe God. No, things of faith can only be attained by those who are connected to the law of spirit and life in Christ. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Amen. If we are talking faith, we're talking connection to the law. It is that law that operates. It is the law that will anchor you even in the face of difficulties. Where do you stand? That's the question the winds are asking. Are you on sand or are you on the rock, which is the word of God, which is Christ himself? Jesus, the rock of all ages. Are you standing on him? The word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. Are you standing on that revelation or you are standing on something else? Feelings. No, forget it. It won't work. You are a double-minded person, unstable in your ways. You cannot be trusted. I think if you say you are a Christian, you better access life of faith. Otherwise, it's a waste of time. Can I say that again? When you call yourself a Christian, you better access this way of life called faith. Otherwise, you are no different from a person who's not in church. And there's no connection to that life without the operations of this law, of the perfect law of liberty. And this law of liberty comes from the knowledge of the word. Not mental knowledge, but the transformed knowledge. The knowledge that transforms you. You become it. You automatically reject falsehood. You automatically reject anything that tells you you cannot. You reject it with all yourself. Because that's what you have become. You have become that law of liberty. You reject it. You don't even think about it. You are stubborn because no one can say no to the most superior law. We don't approach things with that authority in life. You know, we are begging, okay, maybe utaloka. No, when God says ulukile, ulukile. Yeah. Hallelujah. Ulukile. Ulukile ntsobanala usaluka. Ulukile. What are you talking about? Ulukile, ulukile, usmart oliso, ulukile. Number one, I like it the way it is. What do you mean? Things are bad to you, not to me. I'm connected somewhere else. There's a law that tells me something different from what I'm seeing. And I know that law, no one can say no to it. The superior law, the law above all laws, the law of God. It stands above all laws. Hallelujah. When I'm in agreement with that, you know, I told somebody, you know, there's a guy who came here from that guy was finally arrested. He's now in jail, you know. You know him. You know, he was in the news, and he came here for prayer, you know, concerning Brasa scandal. You remember that train scandal? You know, he came here for prayer. And when he came here, he came with files. Files, okay? And he said to me, man of God, here is proof that
I haven't done the things that they say I've done. He came to me with those files. You know what I did? Do you want to know what I did? What I said to him? I took the file like this, and I said, I don't even need to look into these files. I held it like this, and I said, you know what? If God doesn't find you guilty, no man will find you guilty. Amen. What is the meaning of that? If you're not found guilty according to that law, there's no other law that will find you guilty. Amen. I don't even have to go and read what is there. I'm not a lawyer. All I'm saying is this, that I know my God. He's the superior judge. He sits over a superior law. Amen. If that one doesn't find you guilty, there's no judge in this world that will find you guilty. Amen. He was found guilty. He's in prison. What does it tell you? Are you hearing what I'm telling you? So we need to connect to a superior law. A law above all laws. You know, to be honest, if the law, do you know that by extension, the law of this world, that the natural law, by extension, is actually for those who are unbelievers, the law of this world is actually, and it's not for you. You are above this law. I don't know if you are hearing me. What do I mean? I don't mean that you must break it. I mean, if this law finds you guilty, you are terrible. We ask, just by a superior law. You haven't heard what I'm told. Are you hearing me? Amen. There's a superior law. The standard is very high. If that law doesn't find you guilty, there is no other law that will find you guilty. Amen. If you're found guilty by, you just repent, which we must just repent. This law should not be finding us. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
You know, I know. Let me give you an example. If I get a traffic fine, and I've got many of those, unfortunately. I'm terrible. I'm just giving you an example. This law should not be worried about Christians. They must be chasing other people who are not Christians. Not us. I don't know if I'm talking to somebody in the house. Who plays the ticket to Savasalwa and Nico traffic department? These people are not supposed to be chasing us. They are supposed to be chasing those that are not under a superior law. I'm going to work on this one. Honestly, I'm going to work on this one. It's some of the habits that I believe they are being cut off. Just to drive 60, wait 60. Why am I always laughing like this? Because it means if I break this one, I've already broken a bigger one. That's my worry. Is it making sense to somebody what I'm telling you, right? Oh, yes. So please, pray with me. I hope it's one of the habits that have been cut off last night. Amen.
I wanted to show you an example of what I'm talking about. So these laws that you see is just the extension of God's laws to the unbelievers because they don't know God. That's why a government should be a godly government. Because by extension is to chase those that don't know the law of God. Is it making sense? But unfortunately, it's chasing even those who know the way. It's high time somebody told the truth. If this country is 80% Christian, we can make the work of law enforcement easier. Then they have only 20% to look after. The rest of us, we report to God. Are you blessed, Bazalwane? So what is the problem? Steadfast look. We're not looking at this. We're not meditating on this. It's not changed. We have not made it part of us. No. That's why we're not free from many things. They still bother us. We're still enslaved. And small little things make us, give us sleepless nights. No. Hallelujah. Amen. The peace of God is coming into your life. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, yes. Are the storms going to stop? No. It's part of life. But you're going to ride them. Good morning, storm rider. Good morning, storm chaser. Good morning. Hallelujah.
Amen.
From today, I want to say to you, welcome to the law of spirit and life. The law of God. The law of liberty. When this law sets you free, you are free indeed. I'm done preaching. God bless you. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Say bye-bye to worries.
Bye-bye to worries.
Bye-bye to anxiety.
Bye-bye to anxiety.
Bye-bye to
sleepless nights.
Bye-bye to sleepless
nights.
Hallelujah. Say, I'm going to be connected. Oh, honey. You see, like, I mean, I see my wrist most of the time, isn't it? I see my wrist. Imagine if the word of God was just here, I would be seeing it all the time. Now, they say between your foreheads, and some people interpret this to mean that then it talks about meditation, okay? Thinking about it all the time, between your foreheads. So this is prophetic. Amen?
Amen.
And once it is in your mind, once it is in your mind, then it begins to direct you and control you. Because decisions are based now on the different law. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
So you meditate on it. It becomes part of you. It changes the way you think. Now, here's the thing. And I heard somebody say this, and it makes some sense to me. Listen to this. I'll tell you when I heard somebody say something. And I will not say talk about it like it's me. Okay? This person says, the reason why the Bible talks about 666 on the forehead is because what is going to come as an Antichrist mark is going to be, it must be something that will have to control your minds. So perhaps the chip that they want to implant, in fact, they've already done that, implant into your brain. Because people are just happy that, you know, you don't need internet anymore. You connect internet in your head. You Google in your head. Have you heard about that? Have you heard about that? No, it's there. They are implanting it now in the brains. So that thing is good. They're just happy that, look, I don't need Wi-Fi. No, I still need to connect to Wi-Fi, of course, but I don't need a router. Oh my goodness. I mean, I can Google in my head. Just Google, I've got it in my head. I don't need a gadget. I mean, that's where we are now. But here's the thing. And some people that have been able to see, and I think Prophet Brendan talked about it, that he has seen how this thing is going to control people in the future. That they will be like robots. They will be doing what this man says they must do. And once it's in your brain, it's in your brain. You know, I was thinking, if I have a mark, I can just decide I want to remove it, even if I had made that decision. But it must be something that is in your brain. That's what I'm thinking. I'm not saying I'm right. Okay? Between your foreheads. Now listen. Because the Word of God has the ability to do that, to make us access the law of God, which is the law of perfection, by meditating on scriptures, the enemy comes with this invention. He wants to control your mind differently. Because that is why, if you are a Christian and you accept this mark, you are finished. So, it is here. It is here. Maybe there will be a time when you are not allowed to read the Bible. Make sure it is in your head already. Carry it in your head. You have been carrying it in your head for a long time. You could say, neighbor, look at it. Ibile, it's of faith. You've been carrying it around for a long time. Let's carry it in our heads. Let's carry this law of liberty in our heads and our minds and our hearts. God bless you all. Amen. Hallelujah. The moment, now let me give you this tip. Next time you get worried about something lying on your bed, wake up immediately, go grab your Bible. Just look at scriptures. It tells you you have drifted. Amen.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Amen.
From today, away with liberty, I mean anxiety, stress, and all those things. You are free and free indeed.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, this story, I think I've told you so many times, you probably can finish the story yourself. That when I did my matric, my results were quite bad, and I wanted to be a doctor. They were not a reflection of my abilities, of course. We only had school for 2 months in that year, 2 months only. So my results were not sharp. But I believed that I was going to be a doctor, and I became a doctor with those results. Hallelujah. Because another law said, you are a doctor. When that law says that, it does not matter what the other law says. What matters is what this law says. It overrides every law written and unwritten. Anywhere, Roman or not. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's clap hands for God Almighty. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you blessed, Bazalwane? I want to pray for people who say, I want Jesus. Just lift up your hands. You are not born again. You want to give your life to Jesus. Just lift up your hands now. I want to pray with you. It starts with this prayer. You don't come through the back door. You come straight. You just lift up your hand, and then I want to pray for you. Is there somebody who says, I want Jesus? Is there another? Is there a hand there? Is there a hand? Oh, there is a hand there. Okay. Is there another hand that says, I want Jesus? Let's pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you. I open my heart. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. From today, I give my life to you. Lead me. Control me. Take over. I failed to run my own life. I need help. You are the owner of this life, not me. That's why I was reckless. I bring back ownership to you, Lord. Forgive me. Wash me in your blood. And make me whole again. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's clap hands for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening, family. There is a way for both international listeners and South Africans to give. For international listeners, please use our PayPal Me link, which you can find in our podcast description. For South Africans, please see our banking details in the description as well. Shalom.